Blog Talk Radio.
Madden Voice Return, Season 5, Episode 5. And what a week. Week 4, complete. One quarter of the season's over. So I'm trying to tell you guys, if you are not getting into this football season, you're going to blink. We're going to be at Halloween. You're going to blink again, and it's going to be Christmas, and we're going to be looking at the playoffs. Already, one quarter of the football season is done in the books. And what a week. What a week we had. We had some upsets. We had some monumental collapses. We had some primetime players. And, you know, then we had, you know, I don't know, maybe some players that aren't ready for primetime. So a lot to talk about tonight. We're actually heading into our first bye week in the NFL. That's how fast the season is moving. We're already at bye week number one. So there will only be 13 games, if I counted correctly. There will only be 13 games coming up this Sunday for us to talk about. But, you know, before we get into our week four review, And talk about what went on in the NFL. Let me introduce my co-host. And, you know, this guy here, you know, as I've said each week, the first winner of the EAFL Super Bowl way back in, was that like 2006 maybe, 2005? I don't know when it was. But my man Train is here. Version of that song. But anyway, Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, D? You found my song, man. Same motive, different day, brother.
I found your song. And also, let me introduce Madden Nation Season 4 contestant, 2011 EAVG runner-up, the man himself, Kate. Found his song too. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Oh man, what an entrance. I feel like I got pyrotechnics going off behind me. I'm doing a pose right now. I'm ready, man. Let's go.
And of course it's me, Commissioner.
Walk, find that place to line up.
right. Anybody want to debate me tonight, dial in 347-838-9525 if you got the guts. If not, hey, send us a Twitter, The Madden Voice. We are on Twitter live right now, The Madden Voice. And we're not on Facebook. I mean, we're there. You can check us out on Facebook. Matter of fact, you know what? We're gonna pull up Facebook too. So if you want to check us out on Facebook, The Madden Voice, and post a question or something up there, you know what? I'll make it easy for you guys. I know you guys are. You know, you like to have everything handy, make it easy for you. So guess what? We're on Facebook right now, The Madden Voice. And you know, I noticed this guy. He's been very loyal to us every week. So, you know, we're gonna introduce him right now too, because he's been calling in. He's sitting there waiting for us to get the show started. So we're gonna bring in our man, So Amazing, So Amazing. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Basically, I just wanted to come on the show, you know, first thing today, and say, you know, I'm sad that my Cowboys blew a 24-point lead, that's one, and also wanted to say the King of the Couch event for the next event is October 8th. It's going to be in Tenafly, New Jersey.
October, and in what part of Jersey?
It's going to be Tenafly. It's called Tenafly, okay. New Jersey, and it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be the Clarion Inn Hotel, so it's going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning. Same time as the Grand Bowl was, just so you don't want to get that out there. It's going to be a multi-game tournament. Madden, NBA 2K is going to be there, Call of Duty, Gears of War 3, as well as Halo Reach. So it's going to be a great turnout. Of course, you know, 300-plus players. It's going to be great. I just wanted to drop that real quick on the Madden Voice, and also hopefully I can get in a conversation with the Cowboys and these guys later.
All right. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that won't be too far into the show, so I'll keep you on hold and I'll pull you in for the Cowboy talk.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, no problem. All right. Yeah, week 4, NFL. I think we should start with the most surprising collapse of the weekend. I think we should start right there. Let's talk about them Eagles, okay? Let's talk about them Eagles, man, and how they. Let's talk about the Eagles, man, how they blew that lead, man, to the 49ers, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's going on with the Dream Team? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Wait, you guys think of something else? The Eagles, man. Hey, let's talk about them Eagles, man. Eagles are 1-3, three games in a row. They've blown a fourth-quarter lead. You know, Vic's playing. You know, their defense looks like Swiss cheese. What's going on? Train, you're the NFC guy here. What's going on with these Eagles, man?
Look, man, I said it last week. I think I said it the week before that. I think I said it before the season started. Preseason does show some vulnerabilities. Offensive line needs help, and the defense couldn't stop the run in the preseason. So what makes you think they're going to stop it once the season starts? They got great cornerbacks. But they don't have those down, dirty, tackling cornerbacks. They got cornerbacks with great ball skills, can cover the receiver. But, you know, when your front seven can't stop the run, man, the type of cornerbacks that they have are definitely not going to do it. So, man, they're going to struggle until they find a way for that defense to play at least close to what it played last. It's not even playing as well as it played last year. You know, that defense isn't scaring anybody. And like I said, the offensive line, I know Vic had his spiel a week ago, but do that, they still have some offensive line issues. But mainly that defense is killing them.
Okay. K-Star, anything to add?
Yeah. I mean, all it really is at the end of the day is they have very weak linebackers and safety help. They put Brian Roll in a lineup, a young rookie linebacker, in hopes that he would, you know, help the issues at hand. But suffice to say, it didn't work. I don't know. It just, they can't stop the run. Vic's fine. I mean, Vic's going to make that offensive line look way better than it is, which is hard to do because, you know, the offensive line is pretty atrocious. However, Michael Vick can mask a lot of those problems. He had 500 total yards, I believe, of offense, 2 touchdowns. I'm surprised we even got to the Andy Reid part of it yet, and the Ronnie Brown incident, where Ronnie Brown just basically tossed a pass, like a backwards pass, at like the 1 or 2 yard line. And I mean, it just always seems to be the case with Andy Reid that he's a good coach. Don't get me wrong, he's a very good coach, and I actually defend him because some Philly fans go crazy with it. But at the end of the day, you know, there's no excuse. You got all the time in the world. You got to do something with it. Especially when you have Ronnie Brown just throwing the ball away in the freaking end zone and just causing a fumble, and it's just a sad situation in Philly right now.
You know, I find myself in the rare position of having to say that I was wrong, but I wasn't that far off. I did say the team would take a little while to gel. I did not think it would take this long. And I do recall at the beginning of the season saying, you know, all this dream team hype, you know, I think they're going to be a good team and probably win the NFC East. But, you know, when you label a team that has never played together, you know, Super Bowl contenders, people have to understand team sports, you know. And this is a classic situation of – you know, something the Washington Redskins tried to do a lot of, something the Lakers did, you know, way back when they went out and got Gary Payton and Carl Malone. Right? Something we really just saw the Miami do in basketball with LeBron and the crew. And you can't just put a bunch of superstars or big names on a team and just think that it's just going to gel. It takes coaching. It takes coordination. And I do think this team will get better, but they won't get better if they stop being stubborn. You cannot play that wide nine defense and just think that people aren't going to run on you. They're going to run on you all day long, and that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, and the stubbornness of their defensive coordinator, and I guess we might as well, as K-Star said, their head coach, is amazing. It's like, you know, like you said, go ahead and do this. And the teams are saying, yep, this is what we're going to do then. And they're doing it, and you're not adjusting. We watched a lot of games this weekend where teams adjusted in the second half. This team's not adjusting.
They don't have a defense coordinator as a defense coordinator anyway.
I know. Wasn't he like an offensive line coach or something?
Yeah, he was offensive line coach. Really?
Yeah.
He's going to get to run your defense after you go and get some of the talent that you got. You bring in the dude that does offense for your defense.
And the funny thing was, obviously he didn't do a good enough job with that offensive line because look at it this year. So, I mean.
Yeah.
The Eagles kicked themselves. I mean, they missed two field goals. They turned the ball over twice with fumbles. One a great play by Justin Smith stripping Jeremy Maclin in the game. But that Ronnie Brown play was just.
Yeah. Gosh,
that's
the Ronnie Brown. You are a veteran now, dude, okay? What are you doing?
I don't know if that's the time play call. Like, if Andy Reid is whispering in his ear, like, hey, if nothing's there, just, you know, throw it. Like, I just don't understand. I never seen Ronnie Brown try to do anything wild like that. That's just. That's insane.
I mean, I've seen, you know, when he was with Miami and they ran the Wildcat, we definitely have seen Ronnie Brown throw the ball. So it's not an unusual play for them to call. But, I mean, you're in the grass going down with your back falling to the goal line and you throw the ball out like that.
It was like a backyard football desperation play.
Yeah.
Fourth down on backyard football and you just, like, throw it and just hope for the best. It wasn't even fourth down, of course, in that actual game, but it just looked like a backyard football, like, oh, my God, just give it away and just hope for the best happens to stay. You can't do that in the NFL.
No. And I'll tell you, man, Michael Vick really started to get under my skin, man. I've been one of his biggest supporters on a football level of giving him another chance. He paid his debt. I'm a big believer in, you know, he did the crime. He did the time. He paid his debt to society. The man deserves to go out and earn a living, and now he's back doing what he loves, making hundreds of millions of dollars. But you know that attitude he's showing on the press conferences when it, you know, how does it feel to be 1-3? Man, hey, these guys get paid to ask you probing questions. That's what they get paid to do. Don't sit there with your little snide. You really want me to answer that? You really want me to answer that? Shut up. You're 1-3. You know, like, I mean, we're going to get to the Cowboys in a second. But Tony Romo, who has been under the gun all season, and to some degree deservedly so, stands up there. At least he stands up there like a man and takes it, okay? He doesn't sit there and look at you and go, oh, geez, what do you think? How do you think it feels? I mean, the guy, at least he stands up there, and after every press conference, he's there. If he plays well, he's there. If he plays like shit, he's there. He doesn't look like an idiot. He's not making excuses, and he's not sitting up there giving you some snide corner of his mouth. Man, what do you think? You know, like,
hold
come on, man.
Hold on.
You're
he's
a superstar.
Not the, but Vic is not the only person that has ever done that. You had coaches that have sat there and tried to make the media feel stupid for asking them obvious questions to answer. Of course, he's frustrated, dude.
How many coaches are making $100 million? That comes with the territory, dude. You just played the coach is accountable for the team, but you just played the game. You've lost three games in a row, each game with a fourth quarter lead. Hey, man, they're going to ask those questions. Okay, let me ask you a question. Where was this last year? Where was this snide attitude last year? See, I agree with you. There's absolutely coaches that do that. You know,
yeah,
Rex
no expectations
Ryan.
On last year. Now it's a little wild because there's all expectations of the world. They're not playing, you know, up to their standard of playing, and they're feeling the pressure. I mean, he's played great. He played a great game. So, I understand what you're saying. It was pretty snide. It was kind of childish, but at the end of the day, he's the leader of that team, and he's just extremely frustrated because he's playing his ass off behind four offensive lines. That man put up like 500 total yards, and he still lost. I just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. Hey, I, if he was always that way, I wouldn't have an issue. You know, if that's how he was, because there are people that's just kind of how they are. But you know, last year we didn't see any of that. He was still in his "I'm glad to be back" mode. I think now he's forgetting. You know, and that's my problem is, dude. Like, you got a second chance, and I'm happy. I fully support you getting a second chance. But don't forget, you were lucky that you got this second chance, man. You're very lucky because a lot of people didn't want that for you. So, hey, your team ain't doing well now. Now you just got to turn it around, and we'll see if you can. So there was another game that I watched, 1 o'clock game. What was the team? Some team got up 27-3 and ended up losing. So, I mean, you know, probably should touch on that game for a hot second. You know,
who you want to go first?
I can't wait to get on that.
You know what? I'm gonna let you guys go first. I'm gonna come in last. How about that? We're gonna talk about the Cowboys, and then I'm gonna bring So Amazing in to get his thoughts into. I know he said he wants to comment on it, but I'm gonna go ahead. Now, y'all make sure you come correct. K-Star said he wants to jump in. You got the floor, man.
All right. Now, I was watching that game, and as you know, I had the Lions winning. I mean, it's 27-3. I'm like, wow. I mean, Dallas is playing really good football. Jesus, how are the Lions getting destroyed like this? I'm like, damn. And then, get this little Red Zone update, see a pick six. I'm like, yeah, that sucks. Looks like Detroit, you know, had like a small prayer of a chance. I see another pick six. I'm like, wow, really, Tony? And then, you know, the game's all tight. Calvin Johnson's just, you know, being Megatron, trying to get his Randy Moss on. And then I see Brett Favre being tied pass in the clutch by Tony Romo, which we've seen before. And I'm like, damn, where's he at? I know he's pissed. Like, it's just, I just feel bad, man. Like, I want Tony Romo to do well. But these are this is who he is. I mean, time and time again, you think he turns the corner. He teases you. He gives you blue balls, you know, all you Cowboy fans. And this is what happens. He just comes back and just breaks your heart. It's horrible. I mean, the defense, from what I saw, played very well. Obviously, they got up big to begin with. But then Tony's kind of let him back in it. And at the end of the game, you know, he has the ball in his hands and can't get it done. We've seen it before. Probably won't be the last time we've seen it. But that's just twice in 2 weeks, man. It's sad because, again, I actually was like, wow, man, he really did turn the corner. And I know, like, again, I'm not even a Cowboys fan, so I can imagine what, you know, you poor bastards feel. So, go ahead. All right,
Train.
Go ahead, Train.
Oh, man. First of all, it's just a little joke. I mean, y'all familiar with the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. So I felt like there must have been some kind of Detroit fan at somebody's Buffalo Wild Wing bar saying, man, I just wish my team could come back. And the dude hit the button, and there you go, Tony Romo started throwing interceptions. I just feel like that happened to Dallas, because that was, wow. As I watched that lead deteriorate, you know, as I'm watching that for a take game, you know, over 200 yards, but, you know, at the same time, watching Dallas lead deteriorate, my jaw is just dropping. Because they played the best half of football that you can play against a hot team like Detroit. You shut them down. The offense wasn't moved. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. You got a 24-point lead. I didn't back off Tom Brady last week when he had four touchdowns and four interceptions, and I won't back off any quarterback that sits there and throws the game away for your team. Now, I'm not going to blame it 100% on Tony Romo. You know what I'm saying? They probably could have called some different plays, but you got to take care of the ball no matter what play gets called. I've seen some of those passes. I was like, dude, did you have to throw that one? Was there, I mean, he turned into Sexy Rexy for a minute. You know, Rex Grossman throwing the triple coverage all day long.
Nah, he turns on Tony Romo. That's what he does.
it just proves that he's not there yet. That's all. He's not there yet.
Is he going to be? Because, I mean.
And that's the question. You don't know. I mean, you really don't. He's still an inconsistent quarterback. I like your analogy. He gives him blue ball. He makes these Cowboys fans go streaking at one minute. Like, man, we got a quarterback. Then the next minute, they standing over the bridge ready to jump. Like, can we get somebody better than Tony? Look, he's what you guys have. But in situations like that, he really got to keep his head. And you can't make those type of mistakes and let a team back in the game like that. You know, interception is one thing. But for the interceptions to be in the position of the field that they were in and be returned for touchdowns, now your defense is sitting on the sideline like, dang.
Wait. You're going to blame him because you're going to blame him because they returned it for a touchdown? It wasn't like he threw from his end zone and they caught it and ran it in 3 yards. Okay, let's
that Bobby Comfort pick was inexcusable.
It does not matter.
Yeah, but don't blame the quarterback. Because, wait a minute. There's 10 guys on the field. He's the last one I want making a tackle with a broken rib on an interception. There's 10 other guys on that field. Someone needs to make that tackle.
Okay,
we can blame him for the picks, but let's not blame him for
him. You didn't let me finish. For one, I did not blame him for the touchdown. I said since they were returned for touchdowns, you got your defense on the sideline. Like, dang, this team just jumped back in 14 points, and we didn't even have a hand in it to make them struggle to even get in the zone because the defense was still playing well for the most part of the game.
In fairness, that's not what you just said. You said you cannot be throwing pick sixes. That's what you said.
Well,
that's why I jumped in.
You cannot throw pick sixes. It's no different than me saying about Jay Cutler. He can't throw pick sixes.
I've never said that about any quarterback because if you want to pick sixes, the picks, yeah, we can talk about the blame going on Tony Romo for the interceptions. But both of those run backs, neither one of those guys should have scored. They should have both been tackled. And neither one of those was Tony Romo's fault. All I'm saying. That's
if offensive players could tackle, they would be on defense. So
I don't want Tony Romo out there trying to tackle a linebacker with a broken rib, okay? I mean, that's not his job, okay? He's got a broken rib out there, and you know what these guys do with cheap shots. There's 10 other guys that can make that tackle, and someone should have, especially on Bobby Carpenter. There's no excuse for that. I went out and got some help before I comment on this, okay? I got a friend of mine to comment. You know, I have a good friend of mine. He actually used to play for the Cowboys, okay? And I called him, and I said, Terrell, what is your view on this? And he had some comments on this.
Now, Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair.
Bear. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost to the team. We lost to the team, man.
All right. So, thank you, Sarah. Lost as a team, okay? Now, let me help you guys both with this, okay? Let me help you guys with this whole Romo thing that everybody, you know, it's the lead story every week. What is Tony Romo doing? Now, let's take a look at this for a minute. Now, I know So Amazing, you're on hold, want to jump in here, but I need a few minutes here to educate the whole football world about this because there's a lot of misunderstandings here, okay? Now, first of all, why is Tony Romo the lead story? Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys, the lead story every week. When he wins, he's the lead story. If he loses, he's the lead story. Cowboys have won one playoff game in 14 years. Haven't been to the Super Bowl in 1995. Okay? Last year was 6-10. Got a brand new head coach, brand new defensive coordinator. Why is so much focus on Tony Romo? Wasn't focused on Quincy Carter or Chad Hutchinson or Drew Bledsoe or any other quarterbacks we've had since Troy Aikman. Why is that? Because he's Tony Romo. And because he is that damn good. If he sucked, no one would care. No, it would even be a conversation. So let's put to bed whether the guy has talent or whether he can play this game. If he didn't, we wouldn't be having any of these conversations at all. Now, 27-3 against the vaunted Detroit Lions defense. He played 35 minutes of perfect football. That is why he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That is why. Because he made no mistakes for 35 minutes. And we are waiting patiently, and we're going to get it, where that becomes 60 minutes of flawless football where with less mistakes. We know it's coming. Us true Cowboys fans know it's coming. The ones that jump off the bandwagon every time he throws a pick, they can stay. They can stay. I don't need them. We don't need them as part of the Cowboys. Now, he lost this game. I'm not going to defend that at all. He lost this game. Did he lose it because he threw picks? Not completely. He lost because of the momentum swing, and he was responsible for the momentum swing. That is why. Quarterbacks throw picks. All quarterbacks throw picks. But the momentum swing is what caused us to lose this game. And a few other unique things. We lost Gerald Sensabaugh, who has a 46-inch vertical leap, who had Calvin Johnson pretty much on lockdown until he got knocked out of the game with Gerald Sensabaugh. And then as soon as Sensabaugh was out, Megatron went off. We couldn't cover him, period, because that was our guy to cover him. You want to go up and get the ball? We got a guy that can go up with you. So there were some other things that went on. Romo was responsible for 14 points at a critical time where we could have really put the game away. But there was still another 17 points that team scored that our defense, which had played lights out in the first half, then allowed in the second half. So Romo lost the game not just because of the picks, the momentum. What Romo has to understand, and I think Jason Garrett has to understand, is how to manage with a big lead. They've not seen that, and they don't know what to do. The play calling is a bit suspect. The schemes they're running is a bit suspect when we have a big lead. We've seen it twice this year. But here's the other side of that. You see a team go up 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, and then they close it down and start running the ball. And how many people say, well, why would you do that? Do what you did to keep your lead. Don't shut it down. Don't start running now. You've been passing on them all day. It's almost a no-win situation. So I don't blame them for staying aggressive. But I will say that Jason Garrett, who has coached 12 games in the NFL, and all of them have been within one touchdown or less, has not truly developed his scheme when they have a lead. He hasn't gotten there yet, and he needs to. Someone, I don't know who, he needs to get there. But Tony Romo
at quarterback with those leads. He's got to tailor it down or do something.
Well, I mean, but Jason Garrett is calling the plays, not Tony Romo. Tony can audible at the line if he sees something wrong, but Jason Garrett's the offensive coordinator. So when you say don't pass the ball, well, that's not Tony. That's Jason saying we're going to stay aggressive. That's Jason saying we're going to continue to do what got us this lead. We're not going to back away. So that's his call. Now, you know, Monday morning you wake up and you say, should he have ran the ball more? Well, we weren't running the ball. I mean, if you remember the second drive of the game, we couldn't even punch it in from fourth and one. Fourth and one at the one-yard line, we couldn't punch it in. We weren't running the ball on him all day. So I don't know that I question staying aggressive. I don't know that I would have called the plays he called. I might have done more screen passes and a few more safer calls, throws than what I saw Tony doing. That first throw, Bobby Carpenter, ex-Dallas Cowboy, didn't play that way for 4 years with Dallas, and he makes a great play. And, yeah, Tony could have threw that ball a little bit better.
He threw it right
but Bobby made a great play. I didn't throw it right to him. Bobby had to jump up and throw pretty good to get that ball.
Throw it right to him,
okay.
Man.
He didn't throw it right to him. Bobby had to leap up pretty good to get that ball.
Oh, man.
And even Bobby said when he was interviewed, I wasn't sure I could get it. His quote, first and 10 yesterday, he said, I wasn't even sure that I could get it. So it wasn't thrown right
going,
to him.
I'm not going hard too hard on the play calling. It's just that even whatever play is called, you still got to take care of the ball because they could have ran it, and Felix Jones could have fumbled, and then we'd be talking about Felix Jones. So in either case, you still got to take care of the ball.
The first one to me was the worst one because, you know, Dez wasn't open. Okay, he wanted to get Dez on a back fade. He wasn't open. The second one, I don't know. I see the receiver just as at fault as Tony Romo on the second one. The third one, well, that was the play. He just didn't get the ball to him. But he made the right throw. That's who you go for. There was no steep safety help. Witten was open deep over the middle. That was the right play. He
just off his back foot with terrible mechanics.
Well, hey, he had someone at his feet, you know, and he threw the ball, and he didn't have the arm strength to get it deep enough. But it was the right play. So all I'm saying is this. Did Tony Romo lose this game? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not stupid. I'm not that much of a homer to say that Tony didn't lose this game. But am I worried as I look through this season? You guys got to realize something. You look at the NFC East right now. Yeah, Dallas is 2-2. Eagles are 1-3. Redskins and Giants are both 3-1. So at four games into the season, Dallas is only one game out. And Dallas is 1-0 in the division. All three of the other teams have a division loss. So once you get past the shock of this big letdown and you look at the numbers, Dallas is in a great position. 1-0 in division, 2-2, and has shown some very, very good football. Just have to get a little bit more consistent and finish the games, which they didn't do.
This has
Sunday.
Been a story, though, for years in the Tony Romo era. Not even the Jason Garrett. But the Tony Romo, it's just consistency in finishing games. Like, this has always been for years. Like, I don't know. I just feel like every year it's the same story with Tony Romo. I mean, you'd be a great politician, T. Like, I'm going to vote for you. If you do run for office at any time, you're very great at spinning the situation. But come on, man.
I'm not spinning it. I'm stating the way
come
it
on.
Is. The man
is who he is. It's what it is. Like, I understand that. But, ugh.
What quarterback
it's been going on for years.
Like I said, this is a situation where it's Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys. This team hasn't done anything in 10 years to deserve top billing every week on all the sports channels. Top billing. Why is that? They're not packed. This isn't the Packers Super Bowl champs. This isn't the Patriots. Three out of the last seven
team,
Super Bowl.
No? They have a lot of talent on that team. They were Super Bowl competitive last year.
Well, but we ended up 6-10 last year. Got a brand new head coach, brand new defensive coordinator. So all I'm saying to you is that this whole perception that it's the same old thing with Tony Romo, it is not the same old thing with Tony Romo. It's just that when it happens, it gets blown into the biggest thing since sliced bread.
Because it keeps happening. That's why. Because it keeps happening.
Okay. So are we now going to start saying the same thing about Michael Vick? Because I didn't hear anybody. I haven't heard one person say, what the hell's going on with Michael Vick? It's the Eagles. Three straight fourth quarter leads blown and everyone's focused in on the Eagles. Why isn't Michael Vick scoring more points? Why isn't he closing?
He's been on the field.
He is on the field when the other team scores.
Yeah, all right.
Sorry.
Look at the Michael Vick situation. He hasn't been just blowing these games. Tony Romo's been blowing these games. Come on, don't have apples and oranges. It's ridiculous.
All I'm saying to you is, when it's Vick and the Eagles, it's what's going on with the Eagles, what's going on with the Dream Team. That team blew 3 fourth-quarter leads in a row, and no one's looking at Vick. No one's saying, why isn't he scoring fourth-quarter points? I asked you guys about Donovan McNabb last week, and both you guys said, it's not McNabb. I mean, now, 0-4. You guys ready to say it's McNabb?
That's turning power. That team is totally dysfunctional, but that's a whole nother story. I mean, my whole thing with the whole Tony Romo is that when Tony Romo played through injury the past 2 weeks, you had the man on the pedestal. So
no, I did.
This
I
is definitely
one.
The yes, you did, T. And we listened to you, and we didn't argue because he deserved it. And this
what
week,
I said last week. Well, let me tell you what I said last week. I said, and I'm sticking to it, because for 30 minutes on Sunday, I saw exactly, and I'm going to tell you what I said to my buddy at halftime. It was 20-3 at halftime, and I said to my buddy, I said, well, second half's about to begin. Here's Tony's chance to either win this game or lose this game. That's what I said. And if Chuck, if you're out there listening, you can call in and verify. That's what I said to him at halftime. I'm not stupid. I know what any quarterback is capable of, particularly Tony Romo. And when the first interception happened, I didn't really think much of it. But when the second one happened and they scored, I'm like, oh, great, here we go. And I did say that. But I also know I saw 30 minutes of arguably the best 30-minute stretch of any quarterback has had in this league this season. And I'm very optimistic that we're going to see more of the 30 minutes and not the 20 minutes. And I said last week, and I'm sticking to it, he is on the verge. He's right there. He's going to break through. I said last week, and I'm sticking to it.
I don't see it.
No, you said last week he broke through. Not on the verge. You said this is finally it.
No, I said he is right there. We are seeing the cusp of him beginning to break through. I didn't say he had broke through. It only beat the freaking Redskins. I don't have all that much respect for the Redskins.
We can always appreciate the tape, but I do believe you said he was on the verge. And I don't remember you saying he was broke through. But in either case, still, I don't think he's there.
And you won't. Now, let me ask you guys a question. I'm going to give y'all a chance to redeem yourselves here. Which collapse was worse? Eagles. Fourth quarter collapse. Both up by 20 points. Both lost. Which is a worse collapse this past Sunday's game? Cowboys or the Eagles?
Heads or tails?
Yeah, that's almost like that's a tough one, and this is why I think that's tough. I don't want to immediately say the Cowboys because honestly, Detroit is a choice. It's actually a good team this year, and you guys played them well. You just didn't play it well for 60 minutes. But then you turn around and 49ers. We know the 49ers don't have any. Only thing we know about the 49ers, they got the number one run defense, and then it stops there. So it's like, definitely the Eagles was supposed to beat the 49ers. But it was seesaw on whether Dallas could really take Detroit. So with that analogy,
I would probably say
the Eagles was probably the worst. Because they should have won that game. You're supposed to beat San Francisco. San Francisco is nowhere near as a talented team as the Eagles are.
I think you're 100% correct. There's very few people who thought Dallas had a chance in this game. Every pregame show I watched, they all said Detroit across the board. Their defense, and Calvin Johnson, and yada, yada, yada. Matthew Stafford's better quarterback, Tony Romo, da, da, da. This is what I heard. And everybody picked the Eagles to beat the 49ers. I said the 49ers, if you guys recall, I did say the 49ers are better team. When we beat them, I said that is a better team than people think. They're going to do something this year. So I I think it's very close, but perception is everybody had the Eagles beating the 49ers without a doubt and Detroit beating Dallas. So even though Dallas was up by 24 and Philly was up by 20, since most people didn't have Dallas even winning that game, I have to say that the Eagles collapsed. And the fact that they're the dream team, all these Pro Bowlers and all that, I have to say that the Eagles collapse is just a little bit bigger and a little bit sweeter.
Did I redeem myself in the NT book?
Yeah, you redeemed yourself. You redeemed yourself. You did. Let's transition over to. Oh, wait a minute, man. Is So Amazing still here? Because I may have. I don't see him. So we're gonna. I do have a. Let me see if this caller wants to get on or not. Let's see. 267. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, you're killing me, man. Your boy is killing me. Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Hello, me. I'm going to let you know that
Who is
Bobby
this now?
Bobby Storm, yo. Bobby Storm.
Hey! Madden Bobby.
The house. I gotta revisit that last question.
Of course you do.
In my humble opinion, the worst collapse was the Cowboys, and I'm going to tell you why. You don't lose, you don't give up that kind of lead at home. You don't. Not on your home turf. In Cowboys Stadium? Never. The Eagles game was in San Fran, so I can kind of been there. But for the Cowboys, for Romo to give away that game like he did, that hurt. Now, I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but my fantasy football game, I was playing against a dude who had Detroit defense. So I lost the game based on them two pick sixes in the out.
All because of
your dude, T. Because he wanted to throw interceptions and go back to the house.
Hey, I already said Rex Ryan need to grab that offense and teach him how to, Rob Ryan need to grab that offense and teach him how to tackle, because I thought I was watching like old episodes of the Three Stooges with these guys trying to tackle Bobby Carpenter. I'm like, y'all used to play with this guy. He was on this team last year, you know, and now all of a sudden y'all can't tackle. I mean, nobody could tackle this guy. I'm going to say the same thing I said to these guys, Bobby. The fact that the Eagles were favored to beat the 49ers, that was a game that people chalked up. Eagles got this one. And I think most of the people thought it wouldn't even really be close, because I think the 49ers are better than a lot of people giving credit to. But the general consensus is they're not that good of a team. You know, they're in a weak division. And so for the Eagle, the dream team, to be up by 20 points in the fourth quarter with all those Pro Bowlers and all those superstars, and then to blow that game, and not just blow this one, but now it's three in a row that they've blown in the fourth quarter, in my opinion, it's just a little bit, not by much, because I know I'm a homer, and I know I'm defending my boys, but that was a huge loss. I'm not even going to.
Who is Tony Romo throwing to? That's what I'm trying to figure out. The picks that he's throwing in these situations, I'm like, who are you throwing to? I just don't understand it.
The first one, Dez Bryant was covered. Okay, that one really to me. I mean, he was trying to throw, catch him on coming back to the sideline and catch him on his back shoulder, but Bobby Carpenter made a great play. But Dez was
kind of. Oh, he threw it right to him. I'm tired of hearing that.
He didn't throw it right to him. Goodness gracious.
He threw it right to him. He didn't even acknowledge his presence. He didn't even see Bobby Carpenter. He didn't even see him playing that buzz zone. He was right there. I'm tired of this.
But watching
some replays while y'all discussing.
Yeah, watch some replays. Get things started watching replays. But the second one. That the guy, and actually he had a great game. It's really hard to beat up on Laurent Robinson, because it is a guy who was on the street, you know, a month ago, and he comes in, he has seven catches, 116 yards. We'll talk about a fantasy sleeper. You know, here's a guy, if you picked him up, man, you know, you picked up some easy points. So it's hard to really talk bad about him, because he had a really good game. But on that play, if you watch the play, he let the cornerback undercut him. You know, he let the quarterback pretty much get position on him. So, and in the last play, we covered. I mean, it was the right person to go to. It was no safety help.
It was off the back foot.
It was.
The air.
It's a horrible throw.
You know, that really was. He didn't get enough air underneath it because that was it right there. He makes that play to win, we got a different game. But
yeah, he has to make that throw, though.
Yeah, what I didn't understand when I watched the play and I saw Sue at his feet, why he didn't scramble out like he did in the game against the Redskins, where
right.
he caught Bryant going up,
mm-hmm.
like, because there was room if he had just scrambled around, and then Witten could have cleared, and he still would have had him. At least that's how it looked to me, because it was no deep help. And that linebacker ain't going to be able to – I'm sorry. Most linebackers ain't going to be able to run with Jason Witten. I mean, you need a safety or a cornerback. So that – I saw that. Yeah.
He
got to
make that throw. He got to make that throw, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One quick fact is the biggest blown lead by the Cowboys in franchise history. Biggest lead, especially at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me jump in here as I'm seeing some replays. Those first two interceptions, passes should have never been thrown.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nowhere to fit those passes in to anybody.
Thank you very much.
You might as well have to do it to the defense. Those passes should have never been thrown to you.
Never.
Custom guys were covered completely.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on the second one. And just so you know, neither does Eric Mangini, just for the record, so. You know, just for the record. I mean, that second one.
Michael Irvin was just the straw after the game. He couldn't defend Tony Romo. Him and Deion Sanders both were like, they just want to be put in a morgue and buried with the Cowboy stuff because Michael Irvin was just, I'm done. I can't defend him. I don't know anymore. I can't do it.
Hey, I heard Nate Newton do the same thing. Nate Newton, who's like down to 240 yards, man. I mean, wow, 240 pounds. But anyway, that's another story. Nate Newton's skinny now. But, yeah, I heard Nate Newton the same thing. You know, three Super Bowls with the Cowboys, and, you know, a lot of people, it really did, you know, shake their confidence in the team, shake their confidence in Tony Romo. You know, I quote my friend Train, who has said, you know, he sold me a dream. You know, we had two great games in a row, and this one does give you pause. But I am still a believer. I've sat through 10 quarterbacks between Aikman and Romo. Romo's our guy. I do believe that he's going to take this team to the promised land. After the bye, we go play the Patriots, which is going to be a hell of a game, but we're going to be healthy. Miles Austin will be back. Sensabaugh will be back. Newman and all these guys will be healthy. Dez will finally be healthy because he's been a strained quad all year. He'll finally be healthy. And I am very optimistic on what we're going to see in Foxborough in 2 weeks. Anyway, all right, enough on the Cowboys, man.
Let's move.
There's a lot of games to talk about here. Now let's talk about the Vikings. We talked about them for a minute. It's a simple question. They're 0-4. You know, two questions: is McNabb done? And is it time? What's the guy's name? Ponder, I think. Christian Ponder is the backup. Is it Ponder time? I have an easy answer. Nab's done, period. He's just done. Okay, he should not. In my opinion, he'd be a good quality backup for a couple of years. Good guy to bring off the bench, but he's done. He does not have this team. This team is not responding to him. You know, this was. I mean, we just saw what this team did under Brett Favre, and now look. Okay.
But then Brett Favre had more weapons to work with as far as the receiving corps.
Actually,
not really.
Not quite.
Right.
I mean, Sidney Rice was pretty much the only difference.
Yeah, he may have signed to Shianko a viable option because Shianko wasn't anything before Favre got there. So,
for all quarterbacks who have started all four games, he has the lowest number of passing yards in the NFL. Just put it out there. I think it's Ponder time. I think you get him in there. You know, get your first round draft pick in there, and let's throw them out there. What do you guys think?
Well, I gave him a pass last week, but at some point, you brought in a veteran quarterback for a reason. I felt like McNabb still had the game in him. You know, I'm still not seeing. You know, the AP that we are used to seeing. So there's just something going on with the team all together. But at the same time, you know, you did bring in a veteran quarterback for a reason, and that reason isn't showing up. It's showing up as 0-4 instead of maybe 2-2, where they actually had some games won, had big leads,
and blew them. So.
Yeah, I got to agree. McNabb, he probably is done as being relevant. I agree that he could be a low-end starter for a couple teams. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's being a veteran right now, leading or trying to teach a rookie, hopefully, how to play his game. That's what he's brought in to do, not to be the franchise or anything like that. So,
I think that's his value. No, I was just saying, I agree. That's his value to me is the guy has seen a lot in the league. And so let him mentor this guy. You know, that's his value.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, that's why I kind of never really got in on McNabb because, I mean, they didn't bring him in to be, like, you know, just the guy to the Holy Grail or anything. They kind of brought him in to, like, you know, just be veteran presence, maybe do something with his team this year. But obviously that's not the case. So, I mean, if I were a Vikings fan, I would love to see Christian Ponder at this point, 0-4. You already had three heartbreaking losses. He just lost on the road to the Chiefs. So you're feeling pretty awful. You want something to get excited about. So at least throw the rookie in there to see what happens the rest of the year. Give him some game experience.
Yeah,
I mean, if I can say I feel that way anyway.
They're going to give him two more games before they do that. Well, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, not to jump to another game. I mean, I don't know how much we need to talk about the game last night, but you know that guy Painter, he didn't look bad. You know, I mean,
what I tell you.
He looked better than you. You were right. He looked better than Kerry Collins out there. You know,
you
were absolutely right. I call it like I see it. You know, I call it like I see it. And honestly, I thought Indy was going to win that game. I really did.
Yeah,
you know, I really did. But you know, it didn't work out that way. But and I think that's you know that's kind of you know when you're looking at a decision like that, you look at what Indy did, and I think Minnesota has to start to say. Is it time for us to do the same thing? What about Denver? Denver's at 1-3. You know, Train, you had Kyle Orton as your quarterback for a while, but you know, it appears that he's not meeting expectations over there in Denver. There is a huge fan base that says, "Hey, man, we want Tim Tebow." You know, he's in his second year in the league now. It's his time.
Well, you know what? I'll put it this way. If the fans want Tim Tebow and they want to give them Tebow, then by all means, go ahead. But Kyle Orton can quarterback for somebody. And wherever he goes, just make sure you let him take Brandon Lloyd with him.
Take Brandon Lloyd with him.
That's his boy. that is his boy, you know what I'm saying? So let him take Brandon Lloyd with him. But Kyle Orton can quarterback for somebody. I don't know
Miami
that it's all on Denver's offense, you know.
Miami needs a quarterback. Send them down there.
They were supposed to pull a trade for him. He would have reunited him with Brandon Marshall.
Hey,
that
might spark up again because Chad Henne is supposed to be out for the year. So you never know. That might just – you never know.
I don't know
what
was on their mind. They thought they could do it with Henne. That was
I would have pulled the trade. I would have got Kyle Orton down there.
Yeah, they tried to get him in the offseason, but what I think, if I remember now, it's been a while, is they really didn't have anybody that Denver wanted in place of Orton, and they weren't willing to give up a top draft pick, so the deal didn't happen. But they definitely, you know, there was talks about him being traded, and but, you know, it didn't happen. And, you know, I think we're seeing evidence that, you know, particularly if you have a veteran – on your squad that can mentor these guys that, hey, you know, it may not be a bad idea. Now, you know, you have to decide whether, you know, because you're kind of almost saying to your fan base, you're kind of saying, hey, this year's done. You know, you kind of acquiescing that this year is over when you pull these guys in my opinion, even though the Colts kind of publicly said we're not giving up on the year. But, I mean, Kerry Collins was hurt anyway, so they really didn't have a choice, right, because he didn't even dress.
He was never the best option to begin with, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Collins in there from the gate. I don't think Kerry Collins should have been there from the door.
Yep.
I mean, they had the young boy back there, even though he looked bad. What, a couple years ago when the Indy went undefeated that year? So they didn't feel confident. But if you think about it, he never has – I mean, you've been behind Peyton Manning all this time. You know what I'm saying? So he never really had time to get the jitters out and make the same mistakes that every other rookie quarterback has made. So once he settled down, like everybody else, like you seen last night, once he settled down, he knows that offense. You know what I'm saying? He, like, Kerry Collins going in, you got to water it down. At least with the young boy, at least with the kid last night, you know, they kind of look a little bit like Indy, like Peyton, where they look more like Indy than they would have with Kerry Collins in there.
He actually made some mental checks. I remember on one throw he missed on third down. He saw man coverage, no safety on the left side. He had like two crossing routes, one on the deep corner, and he had him. He just overthrew him a couple of yards, but he had some really good mental checks. I mean, he didn't make all the throws, obviously. He was decent at best, I would say. I'm not going to overpraise him, but his mentally he was sharp. As far as accuracy, he really wasn't there, but that's, you know, it's kind of what you expect.
Well, you know, I think that you know, Bobby, you know, I know you, a little bit about your past, and I know you played competitive football, and I think that one of the things that it's hard to ignore is experience. You know, experience is you know, you have, I mean, do you take, you know, Michael Jordan at 35, or do you take, you know, I don't know, Kobe Bryant at 21? You know, you're going to take Michael Jordan at 35. You know, experience is nothing that substitutes experience. And Kerry Collins, he's been around the league. You know, he's played in
the
game.
I agree with you.
You know,
to a certain extent,
so
I don't compare Michael Jordan. That's not a Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant comparison. I mean, Kerry Collins, I give him his due. But everywhere he went, all right, let's take the Panthers out when he was quarterback in them. When he went to the Raiders and wherever else he went to, he stunk up. Seriously. He's a conservative quarterback. And to bring him into Indy where everything is, you know, their offense is already, I didn't see the fit.
Look at it from a player standpoint where you still, you know, Peyton, remember, beginning of the year, Manning, I mean, we didn't really know Manning wasn't playing until about 4 days before the season started, okay? So, you know, and then even then it was just, okay, he's out for one game, you know, and we really didn't get the full story for a couple of weeks. So you're trying to figure out how to keep things going for a week or two. And, you know, the general consensus is you got this guy who's unproven versus going out and getting a veteran. If you're playing on that team, you know, who you want to take your chances with? A guy that's been around the league, that's a veteran, that's seen a lot, or a guy that's completely untested? Now, granted, we can look at it now and say, yeah, dude did, you know, he passed his first test last night. But he also had Peyton Manning with him during the week, where Peyton Manning wasn't with the team at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, I'm saying is I don't question their decision to bring in Kerry Collins. I think it, with everything they knew at that time, it was the right decision. And, of course, looking back on it now, we've seen that this guy's producing, but I don't know that this guy would have been able to produce it.
But don't you prepare your backup for a situation where he needs to go in and the starter goes down? You know what I'm saying? You got to have some confidence in the guy who's backing your quarterback up. So if he's playing backup.
But this is a unique situation because you've got a guy who's played 217 straight games. This guy doesn't miss any games, you know. So, you know, we've joked about Jim Sorgi as, you know, this guy played how many years behind Peyton Manning and rarely saw any playing time. So I think that's the difference is most of these quarterbacks get, you know, guy, you know, turns his ankle, you're in for a game. You go up by 40, you're in. This guy, Peyton, plays. He plays all game, every game.
But Kerry Collins?
I mean, I agree with T from the standpoint where when they didn't have, when there was uncertainty about Peyton Manning's return and, you know, Kerry Collins was maybe going to be maybe a 2 to 4 game fix, you know, then I could see the reason for possibly bringing him in. But from my own standpoint, I still would have went with the guy that had been on my team, that had been in the system, that knows the offense, to give him a shot to try to win the game. But that's me versus bringing in a guy who, when you set up the plays for Sunday, you couldn't run the full playbook. You couldn't run everything. You had to scale it back because that offense is a lot more complex from the outside looking in. So,
I agree. I definitely agree with that. I mean, get a guy a shot. Get a guy a shot. Everybody has been, every quarterback has been in that situation. I don't know if I watched the NFL Network or ESPN, and they looked at Kerry Collins' numbers. And everywhere he's, when he's changed teams, he's been horrible. And I'm not taking that up. I mean, at the beginning of his career, granted, he's consistent, he was okay. But to take on that call, if you want to put him in Denver or Miami or something like that, then I'd say, okay, bring him in for a 2-3 game fix. But Indianapolis, with, like you said, with that complex offense, I'd rather go with the dude that's been there. At least I know he knows the reads. I know he knows the audibles. I know he knows the offense.
Obviously, it's a moot point now because Collins didn't do well and this guy's in there. But I just don't think, you know, in that situation – you're going to bring in an untested guy. I don't care how well he knows the offense. This isn't about knowing a playbook. This is about execution. And this guy, I mean, granted, Kerry Collins is a journeyman. Kerry Collins has seen success in this league, though. He really has seen some success in this league. I mean, my question is, why ain't nobody – I mean, where's David Garrard, man? David Garrard went from being a
starter.
That's
who I thought they was going to bring in.
That's my question. This guy went from being a starting quarterback in Jacksonville to sitting at home eating bonbons. He's not even on the roster right now. So, I don't know.
I don't get that.
Yeah, well.
So let's
turn over now. You know, I was on the hot seat, and I'm glad K-Star said I'd be a great politician and he'd vote for me because, you know, one day I might be running for office, K-Star, so I'll be looking for that vote, man. But now it's your turn to be a politician, man. I mean, you know, we're gonna talk about your Steelers, man. And you know, James, I'm glad you told about Harrison, man, because I must have missed that, and I had to turn on one of the NFL shows. I'm like, dude is out. Because he's on my other fantasy team, man. I have a team where, we, you know, an IDP league that I'm in, and he's one of my big contributors, man. I had to go hustle and get somebody off waivers, man. You know, my boy, he's hurting me right now. But, you know, the Steelers lose. They're 2-2. You know, Ben's gimping. Looks like he's going to play. Harrison's out. You know, K-Star, man, the floor is yours. What is going on with your Steelers?
Well, the offensive line. I mean, I'll get tired of saying it. You know, the offensive line is letting us down in a big way. I mean, this isn't 2008 anymore where our defense is just, head and shoulders, no pun intended, way above everyone else's defense where we can carry the team and bank and win games late for us. We don't have that kind of defense anymore. It's a little bit older. We have a very good defense, but not a great defense like we had. Saying that, again, our offensive line is as bad, if not worse, than 08, and I never thought I would utter those words again because that was just Grimesville. But now it's even worse. We have a makeshift offensive line. People are hurt. It wasn't even good to begin with. And we can't run. We can't create holes in the run game. We can't pass protect. Ben's taking a beating. It's infuriating because the past 3 years I've been just watching us draft defensive linemen in the first rounds, and it's killing me because we could have used a tackle. We could use a guard. I mean, we already have a center, but that's all we got. And it's just killing me because the Steelers seem to always get it right in the draft, but we just haven't been going for the linemen. I don't know why. I don't know if we're taking Ben's, you know, ability to escape the pocket and shrug defenders off for granted or what, but he's taking way too many hits. He doesn't have any time. And at the end of the day, if he doesn't have any time, we're done. Because, again, our defense is good, but it's not great. Not anymore, it isn't. Okay? And because of that, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we're still meant to play off as a wild card, but I definitely lower my expectations. I'm not giving up hope. I'm not throwing in my towel, not by any means. But I do realize that there's a fatal flaw in this team right now, and it's their offensive line. And, I mean, honestly, we just have to give Ben more protection. We got to just run max protect sets the whole game. It's that bad, literally. Max protect sets.
Wow.
That's all we can do. It's that bad.
Your team is sitting on the bottom if you go tiebreaker. I mean, it's 2-2. You know, they're tied with Cleveland, believe it or not, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, all 2-2. But if you went through tiebreakers, your team's sitting on the bottom, which is, yeah, it's amazing to me. But, you know, I will say this about your team that I've always respected. You guys have a great head coach. And if anybody can get it fixed, it's Mike Tomlin. I really think that at the end of the day, you guys are still going to be there. I wouldn't throw in the towel either. You guys have a lot of talent, and there's some pieces not working right now. But I mean, that James, what do you think? You know, what do you guys? You know, that James Harrison loss is huge.
That James Harrison loss is big, but one thing I will say, James Harrison isn't really playing like James Harrison this year anyway. He came back from back surgery. He said he's about 70%, like, a couple weeks ago. He's been playing more like he's 50. Like, he, I don't know. I mean, he's been good. Don't get me wrong. He's, you know, it's not the James Harrison we're used to seeing. I actually think it might be a blessing in disguise, and I know that sounds stupid right now for me to say that James Harrison's out, simply because I know he'll be rehabbing. I know his back is going to be, you know, together. He's going to have time to actually make sure his body's right. But when he does come back to the lineup, I know he's going to be James Harrison again. And I know that, you know, we have young players ready to step up the linebacker position, because that's one thing we do. We create linebackers. Mm-hmm. We just plug them in. Yeah, I have full confidence in our defense. You know, again, we have a really good defense. We're making the playoffs this year. I'm not backing off that at all. But right now, we just got to figure out our offensive line. But I think James is going to come back better than ever, because right now he wasn't James Harrison. So, you know, we'll see. But Ben's taking too many hits. But, again, we got a really easy schedule. We got way too much talent on the scene not to make the playoffs. And like Pete said, you know, Coach Tomlin's a great coach.
He really is.
We'll
He's one of my
yeah.
Tomlin's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. You know, being honest with you, I like his intensity. You know, I like his energy, and he don't make excuses. You know, a lot of these coaches get up there, man, and you know they got it. They got excuses. It's the refs. It's this. It's that. He don't make excuses. He takes it right on his shoulders, and I really respect. Listen, you guys know, I mean, Steelers, Cowboys, man. We ain't no love lost between us. But as a football person, I got a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin. I don't know if you guys will win a division, because, I mean, you know, the Ravens laid one egg, but I right now, with what we saw, I guess we can talk a little bit about the Ravens-Jets game. And more to me, it wasn't a surprise that the Ravens beat the Jets. What was surprising to me is, the Jets looked horrible, number one. And number two, neither quarterback really played well. And I thought they were both pretty good quarterbacks. And neither one really played that well. Trane, did you see the game? What'd you think?
Man, I watched the game. Let me say something about Flacco. And I don't know what anybody said, but Flacco looked lost back there as a quarterback. I don't know what's with this whole Tecmo Bowl quarterbacking he got going on, dropping back, spinning around, left, right. Let me drop back about 5 more yards and see if I can get rid of it. I don't know what that brother is doing, but he looks totally lost. Like, he has no faith in his offensive line, and let me get far back away from them and the defense as I possibly can and see if I can find somebody. I don't know what's going on with their cat, but it's good they got Ray Rice, and it's good they got a defense. Just playing pretty well right now, but yeah, the whole Jets thing, you know, I know it might sound crazy. I think it's just karma. I just think Rex Ryan just opened his mouth too much, and when the team gets ready to play the Jets, they're ready to punt him in it.
Mm-hmm.
They do every time they play them. They punt him right in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Joe Namath told him. He said they keep telling them that they better than they really are. Like you said, everybody get up for them now. They've been talking all that crap, and it's like,
you got to play the games, man.
You got to get on the field and play the games. So
yeah, and you know what? And that's such a true statement, that there are some teams in the league that teams get up for no matter what. Obviously, the Cowboys are one of those teams, but the Jets are definitely that team, and a lot of it is because Rex Ryan. Every year he talks about winning the Super Bowl, and to his credit, I mean, he's done a great job over there. The teams went to 2 consecutive conference championship games, but you know, as you've succeeded now and as you've run your mouth, you are now definitely a target. Of course, he's going to be a target against the Ravens. I mean, you know, they love beating up on him. And the Jets, I haven't looked at next week's schedule in depth yet, but I think the Jets are going to play New England next week, right?
They are.
So you know that they get up for him too. So I mean, you know, it's one thing. I mean, I, you know, as a Cowboy fan, we've had our share of big name coaches, and it's one thing to be the coach to say, hey, I'm going to take it all on my shoulders, but it's another thing when you take it so much on your shoulders, you make your team a target. And I think he just has gone a little too far now, and now they're targets, and now they're struggling. I mean, I'll be honest, man, that was an ugly game to me, man. I mean, I was watching this game, and I'm like, what am I watching? You know, I mean, other than Ray Rice, who was just phenomenal, I was like, what the heck am I watching here? I don't know. But anyway, but let's flip over to let me see which game I want to go to. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills for a second. Did we jump on the Bills bandwagon too much here? Ryan Fitzpatrick and Fred Jackson and these guys, they upset the Patriots, a huge win, 3-0, and then they lose to the Bengals. Now, the Bengals are 2-2, but the Bengals aren't really a team that strikes fear in anybody, but yet they lose to the Bengals. So did we jump on their bandwagon a little early, or is this team going to be there?
I was never on that bandwagon. I was never on bandwagon. You can check the tape. I'll say even when they beat New England, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they had a lot of fluky plays. I mean, they've had a lot of close, or they've had, you know, two consecutive close games. They really haven't been on the road too much. And, I mean, you know, the Bills. They're the Bills. I mean, they're okay.
Wait a minute, you're saying they're the Bills.
We just, the Bills are what we thought they were.
Yeah. What
we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes the third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Every time I hear that now, I actually think of the beer commercial when he walks off the set. But you're saying the Bills are who we thought they were, right?
I mean, I just think they're like 8-8, 9-17 at best. I mean, you know, they're a cute little story, but they're trying to ride that little tidal wave. That's all it is.
I mean, I'm not writing the Bills off either way. You know, whether they're going to do it or not going to do it. But, T.U.'s, you just said it best just a few moments ago. Some teams get up to play other teams harder. That was a division game last week. That was a game where they hadn't beaten New England in how many contests? 15 straight.
Wow. 15 straight.
So, and it's a division game? Yeah, they are amped to play that game. This the game that just followed? What's your typical, you called it when Pittsburgh played Indianapolis. It's a trap game. Here it is. Mm-hmm. The Cincinnati team, they're not as talented as you are. They're not even playing as good football as you are.
Mm.
But
yeah,
you got caught slipping.
I agree. You know what? And the Bills, you know, and time will tell, but they're 1-0 in the division. So they're 3-1. They're actually leading, I mean, you know, the AFC East, you know, and you know, kind of what I said about the Cowboys earlier about being in a good position. They're, even with that loss, they're still in great position, undefeated in the division and still 3-1. You know, the Jets haven't played a division game yet. So the Jets, this game with the Patriots coming up for the Jets, is a huge game. I'm going to talk more about it, but it's a huge, huge game for them. This, to me, if there could be any game in week five that is your season, to me, this is it. This is what you call, this is your season. Obviously, if they lose, their season isn't over, but they're reeling if they lose this one. They are reeling if they lose to the Patriots. And you don't think for 1 minute Bill Belichick doesn't know this.
I know that.
He's sitting over there, right? He knows that we can hurt these guys right now. We
blood's
can
in the water. He's like Josh right now. I'm sure he's got his fin up.
And that's another guy. I mean, I'm not a Bill Belichick fan, but he's a great coach. He's a great coach.
And he's still thinking about that playoff loss.
And you know
they said Brady ain't slept since that playoff loss. And they lost to the Jets.
You know, and speaking of Brady and the Pats, I mean, you know, the Pats, you know, and I watched some of this game. I didn't actually watch most of it, the Pats and the Raiders. And You know, I honestly think this was one of those games. I don't know what you guys thought, but I think this was one of those games where the Raiders played as well as they could play. They were just weren't in their league. And the Patriots were just the better team. It wasn't really a game of, you know, funky plays and, oh, my God, it could have went this way or that way. No, not really. Patriots pretty much had control most of that game. The Raiders never really – you never got to the point where you felt like, okay, here come the Raiders. You know, McFadden had a decent game, but nothing, you know, nothing outrageous. It just – the Patriots were just the better team, and it just clearly showed – that they came in ready, they were not going to lose this game. All the hype on the Raiders 2-1, and this and that, and beat the Jets and all of that, and Pat just said, yeah, okay, slap, we're going to slap y'all right back down to your place.
Right now.
You know.
There was a very big pivotal play, though, in that game where Jason Campbell kind of threw the ball right to the defender in the end zone when they're about to, I think they're about to take a one-point lead or be down a point, I don't remember the case, but that was a pretty big swing, and from there they couldn't, you know.
I don't know who he is.
That was early in the game, though, right?
Them back in New England just pounded them.
Yeah.
Was that Cruz or that?
Yeah, I think that was early in the game still, though, right?
Yeah, it was like in the second. I think it was right before halftime, actually.
Yeah.
And they just lost their confidence after that. It was
really look back after that. Patriots had to lead after that.
There's nothing to really talk about that game, man. The Patriots never fell off that pedestal. Come on, dude. They played a division opponent that hadn't beaten them in 15 years. All right, Buffalo was bound to win one. Oakland don't know anything about what the Patriots can do, so the game went like it was supposed.
And to piggyback on that, if you look at the game against Buffalo, two of them four interceptions with tipped balls.
Hey, I was saying that last week. People were trying to kill Tom Brady on this show.
Hey, we won't.
Trust me. I was saying these things.
No, we didn't. Oh, well, I think Train killed him. All I said was.
I will kill any quarterback that does that.
He threw four picks. And Train wrote me in and said, come on now, T. If Tony Romo throws four picks, and of course he threw three last week. So, you know, and he had a good point. You know, I don't care who you are. If you throw four picks, somewhere in there you got to get some blame. And Tom Brady had to get some blame. But he still. You know, I can't. After this past week, I have now I changed my mind. Up until this week, Tom Brady was the best quarterback in the league. After this weekend, I have to say, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
What was that question you asked at the beginning of the season? Was Aaron Rodgers up there with Tom Brady? Was that?
Hold on. A game against the Broncos changed your mind?
It's all a game against the Broncos changed your mind.
A game against Miami, and Tom Brady was king of all quarterbacks. Whatever, man.
Yeah, he threw 500 yards, and he was in Miami in the opening night against the division rival. They're playing the hapless Broncos. In Green Bay, he knows me a stack game for Aaron Rodgers.
He is not rival to anybody, man.
Oh, come on. No, you better look at your history. Miami's given New England some problems in Miami for a while.
Aaron Rodgers had one dimension to his game that Tom Brady doesn't have, and that's that mobility factor, that mobility. And not only does he scramble, he gets in the end zone, okay? I mean, I got to say right now, and I told you how I felt at the beginning of the season. The question was, to me, it really was kind of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and then maybe you could make an argument Drew Brees is in that conversation somewhere, but it really was a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers discussion as to the best quarterback in the NFL. Honorable mention, in my opinion, you got to throw Drew Brees as kind of 1A. These guys battling out for one. But when I look at four games, and I look at the Packers, and I look at the Patriots, and when you talk about best teams in the NFL right now, I'm sorry, Patriots are not in that conversation anymore. They're just not. They're a very good team.
Are they not in it because of their offense or because of their defense?
Oh, their defense.
Okay,
their
defense, the Packers defense got a much better defense. So, I mean, like, that's the reason why their record speaks to what it is. If New England had a half better defense than they did, they'd be undefeated right now.
Absolutely.
Their defense sucks.
Puts us in bad shape. But you can't argue. I mean, I don't have. Maybe Train can look up the numbers real quick. You can't. I mean, Brady has thrown for a lot of yards, but I'm pretty sure, Train, you can verify this, that Rodgers' quarterback rating is higher than Brady's right now, and he's 4-0. You know, he's doing it right now.
I can't believe a game against the Broncos is what changed your mind.
It's really all four games, and then it just capped off now with you know, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. This is what they were supposed to do against the Broncos, and they did it without a doubt. He did everything he was supposed to do, and
I
watched.
When did they play somebody though? That's what I want to see.
Well,
when they play like real competition.
Dude, they played the Saints the first game of the season.
That's
they
okay,
turned around,
to play
they
that.
Turn around
they
and
play
played their toughest. They turned around and played their toughest division rival in Chicago the third game of the season. I mean, really? And they're 4-0.
I mean, you know, when you talk about best teams in the league right now, people are saying – the Packers, right? Yeah, and there's some rumbling with Detroit. There's a little bit of rumbling there, but I wouldn't put Detroit in Green Bay's category.
Before the year began, we all said, at least I remember I saying that, I think T said that, you know, the Green Bay's the best team in the league. I mean, we all thought that going in the year. I mean, nothing's new. They haven't really, you know, they're doing their thing. They're supposed to be doing their thing. I mean, nothing surprised me. That's going on between with the Packers right now. So, I mean,
I just think right now, you know, Aaron Rodgers is playing some lights out football, man, and you know, he hasn't had a 4 interception game. You know, he hasn't. You know, I mean, has he thrown? You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. The numbers. You know, the numbers don't lie.
They're off the deceiving. All right, that's fine.
Wow.
Hey, man, is Ben going to play Sunday, K-Star?
He is. He is going to play. He might be on a crushed plane. He's been playing.
he might be playing in that boot, but he's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to play. I know he's going to play.
Well, So, Train, this is now going to you. This is a question about Green Bay or Detroit. Now, I guess it would make sense to have both schedules up in front of you, but this is kind of a loaded question because it's going to you. But which team do you think loses first? Last two undefeated teams in the league, they're both in the same division. Which team loses first, Green Bay or Detroit?
Which team? You would like prompt me with that question when I don't have.
Well, it's a trick question. You just haven't figured out the trick yet.
Detroit loses first, man.
What's that?
And you know when? And Detroit loses first, and you know when?
When
right?
I was waiting.
You know when, right? Of course,
yeah,
Detroit loses first. They lose first on this coming Monday Night Football. In Detroit, yeah. That's when they lose. Let's get
okay.
it.
I ain't touching Detroit.
Yeah. So, all right. Before we look at next week's, a couple other comp things, and then we'll start looking at next week's. I got a segment that I'm entitling affectionately "Legit or Shit." Legit or shit? You know, is this entity legitimate, or is it just, are they selling us a dream? Okay, and
I
have five. All right, so the first one is 49ers, legit or shit?
I'm going to
say
shit.
Legit.
All right, hold on, let me ask you something. You, are the Niners legit just because, you know, in their division are they legit, or are they legit, like, in all 32 teams in the league, like, considering legit?
Right.
Because to me, they're shit outside the NFC West, like in the big picture, but in the NFC West, of course, it's legit.
I would agree with him 100%, because that's still not the same thing.
I think the 49ers are going to surprise, have some surprise victories, this year, and it would not shock me to see them get to 10 wins and easily win that division.
No.
Okay.
Now with Alex Smith back there, dude. I'm sorry.
They don't need 10 to get into the playoffs. They only need eight or nine.
Well, they only need to win the division to get into the playoffs, so they can do that with seven. We've seen that
right.
with seven. So
they might win this division, but I don't see them 10 wins.
Let me tell you the difference now. One name, Harbaugh. Okay, that guy can coach. He's going to get everything out of that team. He's going to get everything out of
that. I agree with that.
So that's why I think they're going to be a bit of a surprise, and I would not be surprised to see them get 10 wins this year. And they're all, I mean, there's nothing else in that division. So, you know, they're going to get six there. So there's six wins right there, if you ask me. I mean, at least five. Maybe the Seahawks surprise them or the Cardinals surprise them, Bobby, right? Cardinals, that's your team, ain't it, Bobby?
No, sir.
Cardinals ain't your team, Bobby?
No, sir. I've had Braves my fantasy quarterback for 5 years, dude. I took it on the chain with the Jets for the last 2 years.
Oh, because I got a picture of you with a Fitzgerald shirt, man. I thought the car. Oh, you just like Fitzgerald.
That was mad that year.
Okay, all right. Just checking. All right, number two, legit as shit. The Tennessee Titans at 3-1 with Matt Hasselbeck as their quarterback. Is this team going to make some noise? The Colts are pretty much out. The Jags, we know what they're. The Texans, definitely, you know, a team to be reckoned with. But the Titans are right there at 3-1 in that division. Are they legit or are they shit?
I think the Titans are legit. I've watched them play, dude. The Titans are. I've watched their games. You know, me and my friend, he's a Titans fan, so we're at Buffalo Wild Wings. He said the Titans are right in my face as I'm trying to watch Chicago get a win. But the team played well.
Yeah,
the team is legit.
I think we'll know more this weekend. I think the obviously Steelers. Did they play the Steelers this weekend? Someone to say they're shit. They're gonna lose the Steelers. However, they have a very good offensive line. Matt Hasselbeck's doing his thing. Can he stay upright? That's always been a question with him the past few years. So I'm gonna say shit, but you know, yeah. Let me get a flip-flop on. That might happen a little later on in the year, but right now there's shit.
Okay. One I threw in just for ha-has, Calvin Johnson.
Legit.
Really? Are you really asking me that right now?
Why not?
Are you serious? I had to ask that question?
Of course I was going to ask that question. I think Calvin Johnson is a tremendous talent, but I personally think he's a little bit overrated. He has not ran the launch yet.
After Mawson three Cowboys, he's legit.
He did a rocket catch. I give it to him. It was a great play because he got the vertical leap. My jury's still a little bit out on him. I just like to see a little more. I mean, going over the middle. I want to see different types of receptions.
Who I think this is?
Hey,
who I think this
everybody.
Is? See, I think
what's
this
that?
Is. You
know, hold on. I think this is how much of a homer you are. I think you really believe what Rob Ryan said.
No, I don't
I believe it. I believe this is why this happened. This is why it happened, isn't it?
Hey, but I will say this though. I will say this in all fairness. First half, homeboy wasn't even a factor in the first half of this game. Okay, he became a factor after our guy that was covering him got hurt, and then we had nothing for him. So that's all I'm saying. His first half, he wasn't even.
Because we all know he's still better than anyone. There's two halves to a football game.
You should know what?
I say you should know. There's two halves to a football game. You know that.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh yeah, you.
Full
quarter.
Full quarter.
Sanchez, Jets quarterback. Which or shit?
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm gonna say, yeah. I'm about to go with shit.
Looks like a duck. Well, it's like a duck.
Yeah.
It's like a duck.
Yeah.
It's a duck.
Yeah. I honestly think, and we'll talk about it in a second. But I honestly think Jets are in trouble. And last but not least, Joe Flacco.
Shit. Oh, my God. Until the day I die.
What'd you say, Trey?
Yeah, he's shit, too. I don't know what he's doing back there, man. He's running around, I don't know. I think dude plays Tecmo Bowl before every game.
I think Flacco's going to come back and have a good year. I really do. I think that defense.
He probably will, but I don't think he's done ever.
I think he's going to play well. Couple other things. Train had requested we talk a little bit about the refs, and there was one play in particular that I know I wanted to talk about, and if you guys had others. But, you know, and I think I did comment last week that I felt like the refs really just weren't doing overall what I was seeing. The refs just weren't doing a good job overall. I like the whole reviewing every score thing, and I like that they have a system that doesn't slow the game down, and I think that's a great addition. But, you know, that I'm sorry, guys. That play, that Arizona-New York play where the guy gave himself up and they said it wasn't a fumble. I mean, Eli Manning said it was a fumble, okay? Eli Manning
put
his helmet and said, what are you doing? I'm sorry. I don't care how the wording is, you know, how it's technically worded in the rule book. We've seen those plays before be fumbles, and I don't get it. That was a fumble. I'm sorry.
This was like an anti-Calvin Johnson week one last year. You know what I mean? Like, they took away the touchdown last year, Calvin Johnson, because of technicalities in the rule. This is an anti-version because they actually let this bullshit fly. They let it stay. I can't believe it that they, you know, they said, hey, it's not a fumble. Gave stuff up. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the refs this year. I just the way they're calling some of these games is making one play have a huge effect on the outcome, and that's really not how it should be. You don't really lose the game on one play, all right? Because it's 60 minutes. There are a number of plays you probably could have did better to put your team in a better position to win, but. Ones that you know the refs have a face of when it's just like, man, you've been doing this for years. How can you blow that? Every replay that they showed of a player falling down with the ball in his hand and either getting up and taking off because he wasn't touched or laying the ball on the ground was ruled a fumble or the player could still advance. I don't know what happened this year. The lockout has really jacked up everybody.
Look at the tackle. Tackling all over the league that is on all time low. Everybody arm tackle. Nobody's hitting.
So. I think, you know, and I think we said this in the first couple weeks, you know, without training camp, I think defenses are taking longer to get in stride than offenses. And I think as each week goes on, we're starting to see a little bit more defense here and there. And I think we'll continue. I think it'll start to balance out over the next couple of weeks. But it has been a weird season, and I think that a lot of it really just has to do with the fact that we didn't have an off season, you know. And so everybody, you know, it's pretty much 45 days, and we were playing football, you know, regular season football, you know. And you know, we've had a lot of injuries. We've had some weird calls. We've had. I mean, you know, defenses that normally are very stout look like Swiss cheese, and offenses just, you know, how many 400 passing yard games? I mean, Cam Newton, don't get me wrong, I think he's a great talent, but no reason in the world this guy should have been coming and throwing 400-yard games 2 weeks in a row like that, you know, as a rookie. And I think a lot of that was, I mean, some of it was his talent, I'll give you, but a lot of that was just defenses have not just been ready. But I think we're now starting to see the beginning of defenses stepping up and getting into their stride a little bit. The other thing, the last thing before we look at next week's schedule, and Train had mentioned this one too, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but if you watched your Monday Night Football last night, something was missing. You know, there was no Monday Night Football theme from Hank Williams, and you know, the reason is that well, he, you know,
did they fire him for the whole season or just for that game?
They just suspended. They
Just sending up.
It was just for that game. They didn't play it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see if I could find the quote real quick that he said. He compared Barack Obama to Hitler, you know.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, pretty much he was going back to, let me see, wait a minute, I think I might have it here. Let me see. No, that wasn't it. Nah, I can't find it that quickly.
I find it. Just a second.
But he pretty much, he went back to when Obama and Boehner played golf together, and he thought that that was just ridiculous. And, you know, he thought it was just a huge political mistake. And he said it's like, I do have this part. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. And,
yeah.
You know, and this was on Fox. Who is not Fox is not a Democratic station, and they're not an Obama supporter. And even the lady on Fox said, "Wow, you know, you really think it's appropriate comparing Obama to Hitler?" And he, Hank Williams said, "Yeah, because that's what it looked like to me." You know, now I'm just going. I'll be brief with my point. I think it's ridiculous. I think he should be fired off of Monday Night Football. Period. I don't think you just take his theme off for one night. I don't care. I don't care about his history. That comment was uncalled for and completely disrespectful to this country. That's our president. And if ABC, owned by the same company that owns ESPN, Disney, if they don't do that, I have a huge problem with that. Kill his theme. Kill it, my opinion.
I understand everybody's entitled to their opinion, but there are some things you just don't say publicly anyway. I don't care who you are. Very ignorant.
Yeah,
statement.
It's rude. Very ignorant. And this country's real, you know, I just say one other thing in general. There's just too much of this crap going on. There's just too much of disrespect for the office of the President of the United States going on. It needs to stop. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with them, but you need to stop. What's that?
This has been going on for years.
Not like it's been the last couple
years. Hold on. Bush took a lot of heat. Bush took a lot of heat all the time from every which angle, from the media and all kinds of people. Oh, come on. Bush got killed.
Really? You really are in Cleveland. Bush got beaten up anywhere nearly as bad as Obama's getting killed. He's getting killed.
Bush has been obliterated. All right, Katrina.
No.
People act like Bush was Katrina's fault. I mean, I don't know. Whatever you're saying, man.
Katrina?
That's fine. People blame him for everything. People just went off on Bush all the time. I don't think it's right either way.
Wait. You talk about Katrina. Do you know what you're talking about? Because you mentioned Katrina. Do you know why he got slammed for Katrina? Because the people at CNN and MSNBC and the reporters were down there and knew what was going on while Bush was in Washington saying, we got everything under control. And we're watching it on CNN and TV. We're watching it. And it's not in control. And he's saying everything's in control. The National Guard hadn't been called in yet. People are at the convention center and at the Super Bowl, at the Superdome. No food, no water, getting raped, getting killed. And there was nothing going on. So this is why he got hammered. He got hammered for a very, very good reason. Okay, I was there a month before it happened, and I was there 6 months after it happened and saw firsthand the devastation and the lack of this government's response. Now, later on, did they pick it up? Some. But he got hammered for a very plausible reason. I remember him interviewed, and he sat there and said, Brownie, you're doing a good job. 2 months later, Brownie got fired. Why is that? Because Brownie wasn't doing a good job because Bush didn't know what was going on. My main point is this. Every president can get hammered for their policies or the decisions that they make, okay? Hank Williams hammered Obama because he went and played golf with the Speaker of the House. what? He's trying to bring sides together, and he goes and plays golf, and you're going to say, what are you doing, that's ridiculous? That's uncalled for. That's why I'm saying it's disrespectful.
I mean, that's fine. It was disrespectful. I'm not saying it wasn't disrespectful. I'm just saying that the office in general has been disrespectful for years.
Well, I agree that the office gets disrespected, but I don't think there's any president in recent history that's got hammered as much as Obama.
I mean,
hammered.
I've heard a lot of Bush-Hitler comments in my time, but maybe that's just me.
Really?
I heard that quite a bit. Yeah, especially with the war in Iraq saying, yeah, I heard the Hitler comments thrown a lot loosely with Bush. So that's what I heard. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying it shouldn't happen to Obama. It shouldn't happen to him. I'm just saying it's been going on for years. I think it's kind of crazy, too. It's pretty disrespectful. I'm not
well, it is,
I think it's been going on for a while. That's all. I'm
but have you ever seen, I'm going to give you a couple of quick ones. Have you ever seen Bush do a State of the Union address and someone one of the politicians say you lied?
To Bush?
It hasn't happened. Yeah, to Bush, while he was doing a State of the Union address. Has any of the congressmen or senators in attendance said on international TV, you lied to Bush? The answer to the question is no, they haven't, but they did it to Obama. Okay? Like I said, the level of disrespect that he has faced is on a new level. Do they all get disrespected? Of course. They're in the most powerful office in the world. But his office gets disrespected that he's sitting in, not his policies, not his decision making. He gets disrespected, and I can go on and on, man. I got another show that I'll do what you call the political voice, man, and I'll lay it on the line. But this is
yeah, let's reel back to football. And before we hit next week, I just want to say, Bears, could you pay the man already? 205 yards. Can you pay the man? Now we can move on next week.
All right, let's look at next week. We've got some good games next week. We've got, I'd say, 6 teams with byes. Ravens, Browns, Cowboys, Dolphins, Rams, and Redskins all have bye weeks. And I got some pretty good games. We've got Tennessee going to Pittsburgh. Should be a great game. Tennessee's at 3-1. Pittsburgh's at 2-2. Harrison's out. Ben is hobbled. Tennessee's playing well. We already know K-Star likes Pittsburgh in that one. I think Tennessee's going to win this game. Train, what do you think?
I have to say advantage Tennessee only because of the injuries and stuff that happened in Pittsburgh. I mean, if Big Ben can play, I definitely think they have a chance, but it's the same thing that K-Star has been saying. The way that offensive line is playing, no matter who's back there, against the way Tennessee's defense is playing right now, this word's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, we're starting to see Chris Johnson now finally play a little football. You know, it's like he's finally getting into game shape or whatever his problem was. So Pittsburgh is at home, and that is definitely a factor. Is that the home field advantage there is going to be huge? I gotta go with Tennessee right now. I mean, Ben's and I think a lot of it for me is Chris Johnson's starting to play, and Ben's uncertain. You know, looks like he's going to play, but it's not like it's his non-throwing hand or something. It's his, he needs his mobility, and he's had problems with mobility before with his ankles and stuff. So we'll see. Oakland goes to play Houston in Houston.
Ooh, I like Oakland. I do. The reason why I say it is because, Andre Johnson's going to be out for a few weeks. The Texans look kind of lost without Andre Johnson in the passing game. Against the Steelers, they kind of buckled. They couldn't really throw the ball. I mean, they should be able to run the ball against the Raiders pretty easily, but I don't know. I mean, Darren McFadden, he's hot.
Kobe Ford, baby.
Yeah, right.
Kobe Ford.
I mean, I feel like the Raiders, I feel like they pose matchup problems to the Texans defense. Texans, they can get after the quarterback, but they've had some issues stopping the run. They're not going to stop DMC. This is my take.
I have to say that I think this one's going to come down to, I've never been sold on Jason Campbell, and I think you know, for me, it's going to be hard to think that, yeah, I mean, McFadden, you know, he's a monster. And but I don't know, man. I think I got to go with Houston at home on this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to have to say the same thing just because Houston's at home. And, yeah, their offense does slow down a bit without Andre Johnson, but it's not like Oakland is a locomotive out there. So, yeah, Houston.
KC goes to it. What's that?
I'm just saying that's two in a row. You guys picked different than I. I'm just looking for next Tuesday to see what the results happen or whatever.
KC is going to Indianapolis. Indianapolis gets their first win. They're at home.
Yep.
Yeah. Painter's going to start his second game. I'm on the Indy bandwagon. Dwight Freeney, former guest on The Madden Voice. Indy goes out and gets their first victory of the season. Painter's a hero. all right. Cincinnati and Jacksonville, who cares? Seattle and the Giants. I think we can all agree the Giants should win that game. Arizona at Minnesota. Can Minnesota at home pull this out, or does Arizona at 1-3 win this game? I want to say that this is going to be Minnesota's game, but something's telling me that if McNabb is starting, and I'm pretty sure he is. You know, and this is Kevin Cobb versus Donovan McNabb, which is a pretty interesting dynamic.
mm-hmm.
But I got to
know. I think Minnesota gets their first win.
Yeah, I got to agree. Because they're at home, and, I mean, you figure eventually they're going to win, right? This has to be it.
Yeah, I got to go with
Arizona. Arizona is not playing lights-out football, really. You know,
yeah, you're right. They're not, and it wouldn't be surprising if Minnesota won, but I'm off the mic. I just got nothing for McNabb anymore. He's got to show me now. You know, he's got to show me something. And this would be the game. You know, this would be the game to show. Because if he can't do it in this game, then he might as well just go play golf. The Saints go to Carolina and play the phenom Cam Newton. I think it'll be a better game than people think, but I think the Saints win.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting game to watch. I mean, if that game comes on for you locally, watch it, because you're gonna see some running, you're gonna see the ball get aired out, you're gonna see Cam Newton throw for another 300 and some yards, and then you're gonna see New Orleans win.
It's gonna be a good game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good game, definitely.
Trey had everybody going for a minute. Philly travels to Buffalo. 1-3 Philly, 3-1 Buffalo.
Philly must blows out Buffalo.
Game.
Blowout.
Must win game for Philly. Cannot go to 1-4 in the NFC East. Can't do it. 1-4.
Yeah. They can't lose this game. They're blowing them out, I'm convinced. They're going to get together this week. They take the frustration out on a weaker talented team, on a less talented team, rather.
Trey?
Philly can't lose this game, man. Just like you said, they cannot. They cannot lose this game.
They're back against the wall right now.
They're going to recover for the season, because it's only going to get tougher as the season goes on. So Philly got to get in this game. And they can't beat Buffalo. I guess Buffalo peaked against New England. And now it's time to play football. It's the second quarter. Let's go.
As much as it hurts me, I have to agree with you guys. I think Philly's going to win this game. I think Philly comes back and makes a statement.
Yeah.
It hurts me because I'd love to see, as a fan, I'd love to see Buffalo wipe Philly. You know, I'll be rooting for Buffalo. But as a football person, I just can't see it. I think Philly's got too much to lose in this game. And I think, you know, a 70%, 60% Philly team should still be able to beat this Buffalo team. They are embarrassed. And I have to agree with Cornstar. Wow, Cornstar, we're agreeing. I think this could be a blowout. I think Philly could go in there and really whoop up on Buffalo pretty bad this game. I'm going to say this, though. I don't think that means they're back. I really don't. So we're not going to have that conversation next week. It's Philly backing out because they whooped up on Buffalo and Buffalo's 3-1. Because I'm going to tell you now, no. No, they're not. But if they lose, oh, my God. Tampa Bay travels to San Francisco.
That's going to be a good game, man.
I'm sure you like San Francisco because they're legit, right? So
I do. I'm going to tell you now. Tampa 3-1, San Francisco 3-1. This is the game for the 49ers to show that they have arrived and they are going to be in the thick of it. They're going to be a team to be talked about. And I think, and I'll be honest, before watching Tampa play the Colts, I would have picked Tampa. I was not overly impressed. Freeman's a pretty good quarterback. He's not bad. And that running back, yeah, that guy's something else. Ligarius Blunt, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, Ligarius.
He's something. Yeah. Ligarius. Well, yeah, he's pretty good. But 49ers got a pretty good running back there, too. And I think this is their time to show that they're here to play.
49ers.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was just going to say 49ers, number one run defense in the league. You slow down LeGarrette Blount, I think you can pretty much contain the rest of any kind of offense that Tampa Bay may have. Now, the other end of it is, as a matter of fact, can the 49ers score enough points to win the game? But I like the 49ers.
I like the Bucs.
I like the Bucs in a narrow, close game.
Arguably the game of the week. Jets at 2-2 travel to Gillette Stadium to play their arch rival, their nemesis, the Patriots. Patriots.
I'm picking the way. Blood in the water. Blood in the water. And it's at Foxborough. They don't really lose in regular season. Foxborough. Blood in the water. They're going on hot.
I'm even going to take it one better. Blowout. I think this is it. This is the blowout game that Brady's been waiting for with these guys. This is it right here. My opinion. I think we finally see the New England defense step up and play, because really they haven't done anything. They haven't done shit all year. I think this game they step up. I think Bill Belichick's pride is going to be on the line because he knows he's playing a pretty solid defensive team, and I think he's going to get these guys rallied to play. We already know Brady's, you know, enough said. We know what he's capable of. Sanchez ain't really shown much lately. So even if the Jets D can do something, Sanchez ain't really shown a lot. I think this could get ugly. My opinion, I think it could get ugly. Let's see. Wait a minute. Oh, I think Bobby's back. Let me bring Bobby on for this one at least. Madden Buddha.
Sorry about that, dude. I lost my power on my phone.
No, that's all right, man. We were just predicting some games for next week. I believe you have an interest in the Patriots, so what do you think about the Patriots and the Jets?
I hope they beat the Jets by 40. We owe them dudes from the playoffs, man. I sat in a room with like 40 Jets fans when we lost that playoff game, man. That was the worst day ever. I hate the Jets. I hate them.
Yeah, well, I have said I think this could be a blowout. Now, at the same token, this could also fall into the trap game category. The Jets haven't been playing all that well. The Patriots have. The Patriots are at home. You know, this could, except the Patriots still have.
Tom Brady is fuming, though, about that loss the last year.
Exactly. That's
no
the
way
difference.
They're losing this game.
That's the difference.
Yeah,
Tom
that crowd's going to be pretty rowdy.
Yeah, he's been thinking about that game since they lost. And no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And to be honest, as a Cowboy fan, this is perfect. Let these guys go and beat up on each other. Let the Patriots go. And this is a big game for both teams, division game. You know, the Jets, you know, this is a must. Well, I don't want to say must, but almost a must win because it's a division game. They're at 2-2. And, you know, so for them, it's pretty important. You know, they're already – let me just check their division record. Okay, this is their first division game, so no worries there. But as a Cowboy fan, because we got the Patriots the following week. So yeah, this is great. Go ahead and focus all your energy on the Jets, and then let us slip in the back door the following week and get you guys. Maybe we can catch you, because that's going to be a tough game for the Cowboys. But that we'll talk about that next week.
definitely call them next week.
Let's see, San Diego at Denver. I mean, am I wrong? San Diego's got that game. I don't. Denver don't even know who their starting quarterback is. I mean, is it Norton? Is it Tebow? You know, is it K-Star? They don't even know who their starting quarterback is. I gotta go.
There's no way. San Diego. Next.
Green Bay at Atlanta.
That's gonna be that. I want to say Green Bay, but yeah. Atlanta has a chance to make a statement if they truly want to consider themselves a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta. I just think so because Green Bay is due for a loss. I mean, Atlanta, they've had some hurt feelings, too, about last year, getting blown out in their own home stadium.
At home.
Around. Yeah. They're in Atlanta and play much better. It's rare when they lose. I don't know. I just think they get them a close game.
Yeah, it's something about these two teams. They match up pretty well, and you know, football is a lot about matchups, and these teams match up well with each other. I gotta agree, man. I don't know, K-Star. Maybe I need to go get a Powerball ticket because I'm agreeing with you again. I think I'm gonna go with Atlanta to give Green Bay their first loss. I think, you know, Matty Ryan and these guys and Michael Turner, you know.
Michael Turner's going to carry that game, I think.
Yeah, and Tony Gonzalez is looking like he's 25 again.
Julio Jones is coming along. Watch out. 300-yard
right.
game.
Right. So I got to go with Atlanta on this one. Another very good game, another undefeated team. Chicago goes to play the undefeated Detroit Lions. Now, who would have thunk? I mean, 2 years ago, this game's a laugher. Two years ago, you're sitting there saying it's not who's going to win. It's by how much when you play Detroit. Now, Detroit's 4-0 and Chicago's 2-2. Train, what's going on, man?
Look, I'm going to speak for everybody that's on the phone right now. Train is going to take Chicago, and everybody else is going to take Detroit, and rightfully so, because if I wasn't a Bear fan, I'd take Detroit, but I believe in my team. This is a division game. We're already one game down in division. So if you want to make a statement, it will be now. I've seen some weakness in Detroit in the past 2 weeks. They've been able to come back and win, but there's some weaknesses in that team that they can exploit, and they can get this win out of Ford Field.
Damn, I'm actually going to surprise you, and I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to go with the Bears on this game.
What?
I do think the Bears are due to make a statement. They have floated. They have not had a full, complete game yet this year, in my opinion. They have won two. They've lost two. They're on the cusp of, you know, kind of, I mean,
they got,
you know,
don't they got O-line issues, though? The Bears got O-line issues.
Well, Forte just ran for 205 yards, so, you know, O-line's doing something to give him.
I'm talking about the pass. I'm talking about against the pass, as far as blocking, pass blocking.
That's right. Trey, that's your question.
We're struggling in pass blocking. We sure are. That's why they just need to get it together. It's as simple as that. Every week I go in and say, if they keep Jay Cutler upright, we win the game. If we're able to run the ball, we win the game.
Right.
But if Jay Cutler hits
the ground, then
we lose.
If they keep it on the ground, I can see definitely them winning. If they got to drop back, that Detroit front four, man.
Yeah, but you know, that Detroit front four for 3.5 quarters didn't do anything in Dallas, and our offensive line isn't the greatest. So, I mean, scheme is going to matter there. You know, Sue really didn't do nothing until the last quarter. So I don't know, man. That's why I say Detroit 4-0, can't take anything away from them, including preseason. They've won 12 games in a row. Can't take that away from them, you know, and have had two consecutive 20-plus point comebacks. See, I can't dog them, but I'm still, man, something's telling me that just they're not quite ready. They're not the Packers. They're not ready for prime time. The Bears have been there. You know, these guys, this team, a lot of these players have been there, and I have this feeling that they're going to go in and they're going to, you know, they're going to beat Detroit. That's just my feeling.
Let me get my 2 cents in real quick.
Yep.
Lions, yep. I like to go by double digits. They're at home. This is the first Monday night game in how long? Yeah, those fans be rowdy. You got to remember one thing. The two games that Detroit got behind, they're on the road. That defense at home, I don't see Chicago being able to block them. Not at all. I think the other one's kind of big. That's just me.
I agree, and I'm cautious with my comments because you know my team just lost to them, but there was a team that went down 27-3, and it was a team that came back and won 34-31 or 34-30. And which team are we going to see? And I think I agree with Train that there's just some kinks in that armor that I think Detroit. You know, you've seen 2 weeks in a row with Detroit going down big lead, you know, big going into the second half down big. And I think you can't keep playing. That's not high percentage football. Yes, they came back and yes, they won, but that's not a formula to have extended success in the NFL. You keep playing that way, you're going to lose more than you're going to win. And that's what I think they're due next week. Bears division game. I think the Bears win. Go ahead, K-Star.
Here's my thing, though. I don't think the Bears have an offense to put the Lions in that kind of a hole whatsoever, especially in Detroit. So, I mean, that's just my reasoning. Detroit, again, I don't think the Bears can really jump on them like that. I don't think they're going to get rattled. If anything else, I think the color is going to overwhelm that pocket. It's going to collapse real quick, especially with the crowd behind the Detroit Lions in the Monday football game. First one in forever. So, we'll see.
All right. I guess we'll see. All right, we went over a couple of minutes past time, so anyone who's still with us, appreciate you staying on. I want to thank K-Star, my brother from another mother. I want to thank my co-host, Train, and I want to thank my special guest who I haven't talked to in ages and surprised me with a little love and a little support, Bobby Storm. Hey, Bob, real quick, man, what's going on with GTP? What's going on with your crew? Give us a little Madden love. What's going on with GTP?
Now we're getting ready to launch some monthly tournaments. Started in November. Chris has been coaching the last 3 months. He does a little league thing, and they like get ready for some championship ball. I'm working full time at Comcast, doing doubles down there. That's why nobody's really heard from me. So we can get ready to launch some monthlies in November, and I got some things working with Mike Brown in top as far as some other tournaments, some big tournaments, some majors.
Excellent.
So
Yeah,
so we're gonna try to go back to the way we used to do stuff. So I'm still around. I'm still reading the boards and everything. So I might be in touch with K-Star, and I've been talking to Dan and all them guys. So we're still in the mix.
I don't go on the board, so you know I'm done with the message boards, man. They took all my life. I have not read a message board at all in the year of 2012 or 2011. I have not gone on any message boards. I have not, and I'm just done with message boards. I'm just done. It took all my energy away. But anyway, all right, guys. Well, listen. One last thing. I want to thank So Amazing for calling in earlier. Check out Rod's tournament this weekend. KOTCNation.com for more information. They got a big one coming up this Saturday. Check them out. And thanks, Bobby, for calling in, K-Star, and my man, Train. Guys, enjoy the games this weekend. The Madden Voice will be back 9 o'clock Eastern time next Tuesday night. And remember, we are still affiliated with the EAFL, still the best online Madden league out there. And if you want to get your Madden on, join the EAFL because that's where all feuds are settled on the field. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll see everybody next week.